Yeah. Bless you. Bless the worship team. Would you just thank them? Thanks so much. Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, Ben, come on up here. I want you to tell folks what is about to happen in here. Just tell us what's going on there as Ron picks up the buckets. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just tell them about the whole awakening thing. We're going to pray for you. And so just tell us the good news. Tell us the plan. Sorry about that.
Well, Jesus is going to win in Europe. That's the start.
Amen. Yeah.
About 14 months ago, myself and a friend of mine, Todd White, you guys would know him. He's a friend of our house here. And we were in Nuremberg, Germany. We had a vision, a very clear vision. I was standing at the edge of a field, and I've heard probably 600 prophecies being here at Bethel. Ones from, you know, every week we have a prophetic word, and it's amazing because we're such a prophetic culture. But as we went to the edge of this field, it was where Hitler spoke to a whole bunch of youth, literally hundreds and thousands of them at a time. As I was standing there, Todd and I had the exact same vision at the same time. It was very strange, and I saw this place filled with people. And they were from all over Europe. They were crying out to God with just innocence on their face, joy on their faces, saying, God, would you take back Europe? And I don't know why I had this vision. But then all of a sudden, I remembered a prophetic word from 2011 that Jesus Culture, they shared that they had a dream. And in the dream, one of the band members saw a place called Nurem on the hill. And Nuremberg means Nurem on the hill. That's what
it
means.
Wow.
And I had this instant remembrance of the prophetic word that they had in their dream. And they saw thousands of people running to Nurem on a hill and then leaving covered in fire. And so Todd walked up behind me as I'm having the vision, and he pointed at the field and he said, this place is going to be filled with people from all over Europe. And I said, buddy, I just saw the exact same thing. So since then, we decided just to go on a journey of seeking the Lord, how we would do that. And it turns out that about a week later, Hazlett was here, and he ended up walking off stage. He prophesied over me. He said, the German-speaking world is calling you. And he said, there's going to be a stadium that God fills, for, you know, et cetera. And so just kept going after that, and I had no idea what I was doing, but God knew, and since then I've seen the fingerprint of God, the hand of the Lord on this thing, where we're actually calling all the nations of Europe together that they might cry out to the Lord to take back Europe. It's less than 2.5% Christian from the UK to the Ukraine, so we need a great move of God there. And so we need a great move of God, not just in the church, but also in saving souls, in new believers.
Yes.
And so we're going after that, and so we're commissioning people. Hopefully anywhere between, we don't know how many the numbers are, it's not important to me, but we're commissioning people in the very same stadium that Hitler used to commission an army. We'll commission a holy army filled with love, filled with fire, and it'll be an army that is not a slave to fear, that are children of God. Everywhere they go, they leak the raw love of God and the gospel. So that's what we're after, and that comes up in July the 9th to 12th.
July.
Yep. Yes.
Now, you've got a whole bunch of people joining you in this thing. How many are signed up already?
Over 12,000 already.
Over 12,000 people already signed up. And you've got some, the Lord's given you real favor with some pretty major leaders and stuff that are on board of this thing.
Yeah, I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, to me, it's just the absolute sign that this is the Lord. Because you couldn't get the people that are getting behind this thing, you could not get them all together. I mean, just schedule is just insane. And yet people are just dropping stuff. Who's going to be involved in this thing?
Well, obviously, a lot of amazing friends of this house, Heidi Baker, there and there. And German leaders like Peter Vents, you know, they have Gospel Forum Church and places that I never thought we'd be able to be involved with in Europe are coming. And all these leaders coming from all over the world, even sending me messages saying, we'll pay our own plane tickets. We just feel we have to be there because the Lord's taking back history. There's something that he's doing, and they want to be a part of that. So.
Wow. Well, I want you to stand down there, and I want a kind of a flash mob kind of deal. Now, I just want our team, but I want some people that have a heart for you. Just surround Ben. We're going to lay hands on him. We're going to pray for him. And I thought by putting him down here, we could get more of the folks. You just have a heart for Europe. Just come and let's pray. Yeah, let's get our staff, our team in here. Just hungry, hungry, hungry for Europe. Hungry for breakthrough. I know we've got a lot of people online watching Bethel TV from Europe, from places around the world. Extraordinary things are happening. But their Lord is really looking for a breakthrough, a tipping point. Yeah, just extend your hands, join your faith with this thing, and let's just pray without anybody leading for a moment. I just want to hear the chorus of prayer. Just keep praying, but I want everyone to stand. I feel like we're supposed to take a stand. We're taking a stand for Europe. Taking a stand.
The Bible says, how will they hear if there's no preacher? And how will they preach if they're not sent? And so right now, we just commission you, Benjamin. In Jesus' name, we just commission you from this house. We just co-mission you right now. And we just send you out to this European tour that tens of thousands of people would find Jesus in. More than that, that it would begin a reformation in Europe. And Europe would come back. A reformation. And Europe would come back to Jesus, and they would trace it back 100 years from now to this event, to these events, to these people, to this. And that you would become a father of reformation. You'd be known as a father of reformation in Europe.
Amen.
And Lord, we just release this new mantle for a new mission on Ben in Jesus' name. And we say, angels, come help. We need angelic help. We need angelic help. Strategic alliances with heavenly allies.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Everybody said, so be it.
Amen. If you want to sow into it, you just come up, put money in his hand. I'm going to have Ben stand there for a moment. If you want to give something towards this, just put some cash in his hand, or if you have a check, you can make it to Bethel. We'll make sure he gets every bit of it. Yep. Multiply, multiply. Thank you, Lord. Wow. What's that? Bring a bucket. Yeah. I should have known we'd need a bucket. There we go. That's good. I love it, love it, love it. How many folks do we have here from Europe? Put a hand up. Stand, yeah. Man, we're glad. Glad you're here. Oh, love you, love you, love you. So proud of you. Come on. This is awesome. Beautiful. I have a real love for Europe. In fact, I was just in four different countries here a week and a half ago. And I look forward to every chance I have to minister there. So, yay, God. This is good. We've graduated. It's just somebody's briefcase, you know. Yeah. That's good. Now, what's on that hat? What does the hat say? Let me see. Samuel Roberts. Come on. You got a couple of prophetic things going there. Samuel and Evan Roberts. That's a good combination right there. All right. So, well, somebody needs to take that. Anyone with cancer, stand up. Hate cancer, and it's supposed to go tonight. There's somebody who has, it feels like a blockage or an obstacle, or I don't know if it's a growth, what it is, but it feels like something's blocking your ear. It just feels different. Something's wrong there with your right ear. If that's you, stand up. Is there someone here that has, torn muscles or something in the rib? I don't know that there's broken ribs, but there's something tore in the right rib cage. Does that make sense? All right. All right. Yes. Make sure you stand up. Get in on this one. Someone was in an accident, and when you were in this accident, you, I think it especially happened with your right leg. You just jammed it. And so there's just been some issues with the right leg because of that accident. I'm assuming it's automobile, but I'm not sure. Who's that? Put your hand up. That's okay, back over here. All right. Yep. All right. I met somebody earlier, came some distance. You came specifically to be healed, something to do with the stomach area. I don't remember. I think you're sitting over here somewhere. Yeah, yeah, you're right there. Anybody who came tonight for a miracle in your body, stand up. I think there's somebody else here with this right leg thing. It just feels like weakness. I don't know if there's a disease in the muscle. It feels like more than muscle because I can feel it actually down into the Achilles, the tendon area. The entire right leg is just, I don't know, something's not right. There's just weakness all through that right leg. Who is that? Because I feel like the Lord's just to add an immediate strength as a gift. Psalm 68 says, and God commanded your strength. So strength is in the command. All right. Let me see. I think I wrote something else down here. Let me make sure I have it all. Oh, tinnitus. Tinnitus. Who has... I actually heard the word earlier, tinnitus. So I think that's ringing in the ear and stuff. Yeah. All right. All right. We've got several with that one. All right. There's also somebody that has, you have some sort of sinus. I think it must be a chronic thing. Some sort of a chronic sinus infection type deal. I can feel it right through here. And if that's you, stand up. Somebody shared with me earlier, they received prayer here. I believe it was in January when Randy was here for migraines. They've not had one in 5 months. And so let's get in on that testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If migraines have been an issue for you, stand up and let's make them no longer an issue. All right. One more thing. This testimony we had today, all four services now today on this degenerative condition in the back is really a big deal. That's an extraordinary miracle. And there are some of you that have that same condition, some sort of a degenerative condition in your back, and or you may have already had fusions, and you really deal with movement and pain, issues of movement and pain, all that stuff. If that's you, stand up, because this is wholesale. All we're doing is picking up what was already paid for. Yeah. One of the best statements in healing I've ever heard, I heard Randy Clark say several years ago, he said, for us to beg God to heal someone is to assume we have more mercy than he does. And this is already something he's determined, decided, and actually purchased. He actually made the payment in full. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to connect our hearts, just a simple heart of compassion, simple heart of faith, with the heart of God, and we're going to pray for these people. So all of you that are standing, just this will help us out if you'll do this. Just put a hand up, put your hand up so people can see you. And then those of you that are sitting, if you believe God, I want you to join with us. And in fact, if you don't believe God, join with us anyway, because you will believe God. All right? So go to somebody with their hand up. And as soon as somebody comes to you, Bethel family, you should know what to do by now. Look around. If you see somebody with their hand up, please go to them. Okay, look around. We still have hands up. Shh. Hold on. I thought it would be a little quicker. So wait just a moment. We have a pocket of people right down here. If the person you're about to pray for still has their hand up, would you pull their hand down for them? Yeah, that's okay. That way I know. All right, everybody's covered. Looks like it. Wave your hand at me if we missed you. I don't want anyone leaving rejected. All right. All right. There's still a hand up over there. I can't tell if they're worshiping or what. All right. Yeah, we just have worshiping people here. They ignore me. That's what they do. They just ignore me and have their hands up. Okay. You got to find out what's wrong. Very simple. And listen, just pray your best prayer. Find out what's wrong. Lay hands on them. Pray your best prayer and command the illness to go. If there's cancer, rebuke the spirit of infirmity. Command it out of their bodies. And let's pray for this breakthrough now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come right now with power for miracles, for signs, for wonders. Miracles, signs, wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Migraines, we break your power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we call for creative miracles tonight in the spine where there's been degenerative condition in that spine. God, let all things be made new. Put your hand right on the spine if they've got that degenerative condition. Put it right where it is. And we just call for all things to be made new. If there's a fusion in the spine where vertebrae are fused together, Lord, we just call for a creative miracle there as well. Make all things new. Some of these folks have been in accidents and there's been lingering issues for years. I want you to break off torment. We break off the spirit of trauma. Trauma as it's connected to that accident. The leg that was jammed and that has been in a place of weakness and brokenness. We declare wholeness to you now in Jesus' name. Okay, go ahead, end your prayer, but stay with the person. Just stay with them. Everyone that received prayer, right now, you need to put faith into an action, if it's at all possible, and find out what the Lord has done. All right? I want you to examine yourself. Try to move in a way you couldn't move. Try to do something that was difficult or impossible. If it was the issue of hearing, have somebody check it. As soon as you find out you've been healed, wave both hands over your head like this. Do it for about 15 seconds, like this. Both hands, not one hand, both hands, so we can see who you are. We want to celebrate with you right down here. There's another over here. Another one over here, another over here. Yep, wave those hands in the air so that we can see and celebrate with you. Back, okay, back over here is another. Way back over here. Okay. Shh. Okay, I'm going to have you pray again, but wait just a moment. Don't start yet. How many of you already got healed? Put a hand up. Put your hand up high. I want to see who you are. Look around the room. Look around the room. All over the room. Beautiful. All right. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, I want you to turn. Honestly, if the person is 100% better, obviously you don't need to pray again. You might mess them up. Leave them alone. Unless they have another area to pray for, okay? Otherwise, if you just saw somebody get healed and you need a miracle, even if it wasn't called out, I would have them pray for you. Say, hey, give me some of that. And freely you receive, freely give. Turn and pray once again, will you? Pray once again. We want every person that stood to be 100% whole. There's someone who has had, you had a seizure and you've had lingering effects. I don't know if it's in your thoughts, in your mind, your nerves. I don't know what it is, but there's lingering effects ever since there was a seizure. Who is that? Put your hand up high because we're going to make sure people around you just pray for you. Okay, right back over here. Surround that person and just rebuke trauma, the effects of trauma on that life. The Lord, right over here is another one. Okay. We just come against trauma, the effects of trauma in their lives, in Jesus' mighty name. We call for your Holy Spirit to come and restore everything stolen, everything traumatized would be made whole, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Beautiful. Okay, you did good. Everyone stop. Okay, now listen carefully. Don't sit down quite yet. Quite yet. We're almost at the finish line, but we're not there yet. All of you that receive prayer, this may sound really silly, but the action you take after prayer is as important as is the prayer. I've actually seen a miracle withheld until there was an action, and I saw with my eyes the miracle happen, and it was only when there was movement. It was in the early days. I didn't know there needed to be an action. I was praying for somebody that had a very serious injury, and we kept praying. Nothing happened. And finally, I had this thought, he needs to move. And as he moved, we saw it happen. It was a miracle. And so I just want to encourage you. We don't ever want anyone to pretend, nor do we want anyone to ever injure yourself because you're trying to make a statement. Don't do that. Just see what the Lord has done. That's all we want you to do. So right now, for example, if you came in with a headache, move your head around vigorously. See if the pain is still there. Honestly, just do something. And as soon as you discover you got healed, wave your hands like this, and we will get happy and celebrate with you, all right? Check yourself real good. As soon as you discover you got healed, we've got another one down over here. Yep, another one back over here. Two more over here. Yep, we thank you for that, God. Another one here. Yep, another one over here. Another one there. Another one. Over here is a couple more. Bless the Lord. Got another one over here. Yeah, come on. All right, go ahead and be seated. Why don't you hug somebody and kind of pretend like you're happy or something. Tom. Gabe, maybe you can help me get that's fine. Just get the mic ready. Let's I just want to see how many of you, you're at least 80% better. Stand up. Just stand up so we can see who you are. Look at this. Look at this. That's amazing. Now just stay standing. We might as well count. See how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. There's got to be one more to make it 50. Come on. Oh, right here. I didn't get you. 50. Thank you. I feel better now. All right. You know, some of you got healed of something, you know, pretty substantial. And I would love to have at least two or three people just give testimony. When we give testimony, we literally release something in the air where people give glory to God that he would not have received otherwise. And it's our indebtedness to him to boast in what he has done. So if I could have two or three people come down here, it would just be wonderful. Did your friends choose you or did you choose? I heard noise over here, and oftentimes I see people lift their friends' hands. So yeah, come on down here. Beautiful. All right. Yeah, that's a good two or three. I like that. Come on down. It's all right. I love this so much. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hallelujah. This is good news. All right. Go ahead, Tom, and hold the mic up and have her. What did Jesus do for you? Yep.
I had a accident when I was about 19, and I'm 51 now, so it was a long time ago, and I jumped on a trampoline and injured a disc, and so there's ruptured discs and stuff on my right leg, and there's some scoliosis, and so I've lived with lots of pain all my life, and we desire to do missions a lot. We travel around, and it makes it difficult to get in the plane and sit, so so it's all the way down, everything, you know, up to the head, and it's always been the right side, and I always talk to God about, but you're my righteous right hand, and I've got the right hand, and it's certainly not strong, and I want your strength, and just something happened tonight as he called out trauma. This part was healed, and then my daughter... And then my daughter Lydia prayed for me for this part, and then it got healed. So I just want to give glory and honor to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hey, do this. Come right over here. Wait. Come right over here. I want some of you ladies just to bless her really good. There we go. Come on. All right. Come on over. Just tell everybody what Jesus did for you.
Okay. I had tinnitus in my ears for years and years. I don't know how long. And I don't hear anything but good sound.
Tinnitus is good gone. Sound. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Yeah, wait. Come over here. Matt, I want you and some of the guys, some of you guys, just come and bless this man. Soak him up really good. We just want to make sure that each person leaves with more than a healing. Just a little bit of intoxication would be great. Okay. All right. What did Jesus do for you?
Can I help you? Okay. All right. I was in a car accident in 2003. I was at a stop sign. I was rear-ended by a car going 55 miles an hour.
Ooh. Wow.
The problem was at the last minute, I turned sideways because, frankly, I thought it was an airplane that was going to hit me because it was a pretty big vehicle. And so it wrenched me sideways pretty bad. I had five different surgeons, and none of them could agree on what to do. So I did nothing, been in pain for quite a while. I literally couldn't touch my knees.
Wow.
Let alone touch the ground, which is pretty pathetic because I frankly don't have that far to go. But,
Before tonight, you could hardly touch your knees, and now you can touch the ground. We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And we release and forgive everyone involved in the accident.
Oh, yeah.
We just declare safety and blessing over them. Why don't you go stand over there? I got a couple guys that I want to just really pray for you and bless you. Really. Chris and Gabe, you guys, yeah, get over here. And Mark, come and just bless this man. This man just needs another drink. Another drink, for sure. What did Jesus do for you?
Well, I'm a truck driver, and I've been driving truck for about 35 years. And if there's any drivers in here, they know that the old turbos really does a number on your ears. And I've lost the ringing in my ears tonight. And
wow.
How long have you had
the ringing for almost all that time.
Almost the 35 years?
Almost for the 35 years.
And it left tonight. Did you feel it happen?
It just got like, there's no ringing.
It was there. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Lord.
And I also had my lower back.
Yeah.
Was really hurting. And I told my wife tonight, I said, I don't know if I can go another 2 years before retiring. I'll be 65 in 2 years.
Wow.
Or 66. And because I was hurting so bad, my back was. And I also got healed of that tonight, too.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful, Lord. Okay, go right over here. We've got some guys that just would like to pray for you. Just bless them. Just bless them good. Just a couple of you. Here we go, Matt. Get in there. Let him have it. Let him have it. Don't let him get off easy. No token prayer stuff. Just make sure. We force feed if we have to. All right. What did Jesus do for you? What happened?
Well, I was at Whiskey Town a few weeks ago, and I had an injury in my tailbone. And I don't know what happened, but I'd say at least 90% I sat down over and over, and I could not. Well, I didn't want to. But the pain come back, and it's just gone.
It's just gone.
I've also had a hyperextended ligament in my right arm from injury.
Yeah.
A partially herniated disc from injury, car wrecks,
and
a partial, I proclaim the name of Jesus. It was a pinched nerve in my lower back.
Yeah.
I feel nothing.
It's all gone. Yeah. Like, thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Come over here. Come on, you guys. Don't let him get off easy. Just don't let him get off easy. All right. Grab. He's ready. Come on. Don't disappoint him. Man, we got a train wreck over here. That's good. All right. Grab your Bibles. Open to John chapter 7. Actually, John chapter 6 and Matthew 7. John 6 and Matthew 7. Are you guys done already? I did say open your Bible. Yeah, I did. I did. Open your Bible. Open your Bibles to John chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. But you guys don't have to quit. I'm not announcing you have to quit. But you can. Because these guys did. I got to lighten up. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know. Okay, John 6, verse 26. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life or everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." This is one of the most profound statements I think Jesus made in defining what the work of God is. When we discuss the will of God, there's a lot of wonderful descriptions. My favorite is found in the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, where he said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Gospel of John is filled with references to the works of Christ, to the work of God. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. That is in the 12th chapter of John. Statements like this are throughout the Gospel of John frequently. And if I remember correctly, works is mentioned 21 times. 17 of those are without question miracles. So the term works of God, have a definite connection to miracles, signs, and wonders. And yet in this particular passage, Jesus does more than talk about the obvious, which would be the miracles. He takes you to what's behind the miracles. He takes you to what really the Father is looking for. The miracles are essential because they testify of his nature. Without miracles, there's no understanding of God's heart for people. Miracles are absolutely necessary to reveal the heart of God. The heart of God cannot be revealed apart from miracles. There is that sense of obligation. When Jesus came, he came to reveal the Father. And the thing that he revealed the most was that Father heart towards people to heal, to restore, to deliver. I love, Ben, what you said tonight after we heard the testimony of the serious back injury that was healed, that we will one day stand before Jesus, the invisible man, the one who's been doing all these miracles, and be able to look into his eyes and see the compassion that he has had for us in every single encounter and occasion where he's touched us, healed us, delivered us through our entire lives. This Jesus is revealed in miracles, and Jesus revealed the Father that way. He cannot be revealed clearly without the miraculous. But this passage reveals something else to me. And that is, he says, you want to work the works of God? Believe. Believe in him whom the Father has sent. Now think through this with me. Faith is the seamless connection between the heart of man and the heart of God. If you've ever had a loose cable on a battery, you know that's where corrosion will form. It's also, there are times a battery in a car, that loose cable, you feel it and it gets extremely hot because the connection is bad. But when the connection is tight, you almost can't tell the difference between the battery and the cable. Does that make sense? They are seamless in the way they connect and they fit together. There's this perfect connection of this power source to this, starting this this motor. Faith is that way. It's the seamless connection between the heart of a yielded person and the heart of God. You hear phrases like faith works or prayer works. And I know what's meant by that, and I applaud it. I've seen the posters and the, you know, bumper stickers and everything, and I'm totally fine with it. But technically, faith doesn't work. Faith is no greater than what you have faith in. If you have a seamless connection with a dead battery, there's nothing you're going to do to get that car started. So the faith is the connection to someone who works on our behalf. It's not that prayer works, it's the one we talk to works. Faith is vital. Don't misunderstand me. Without faith, we can't please God. But it's that yielded heart. See, faith is not the result of striving. It's not the result of works. It's not the result of effort. Faith is actually the result of surrender. It is the yielded condition of the believer who meets a perfect God. He is trustworthy. That's why we trust him. And whenever we become distracted or weak in faith, it's always because there's a weakness in the connection. I don't mean backsliding. I don't mean something evil. I just mean that cable just got loose and there's corrosion. The most normal thing in the world is to trust the only one in the universe who has never lied. I mean, we trust our emotions, we trust our opinions, we trust our people around us, we trust, you know, systems, educational systems, governments, whatever. We trust all kinds of things, and every one of them have failed. And people struggle with faith in God who has never lied. I'm just saying, it's just there's corrosion in the connection. So faith is then the seamless connection between the heart of man, the surrendered heart of man, and the heart of God. Now, I want you to go to Matthew 7. I really enjoyed Chris's message again this morning. I got to hear it a couple times and loved it. Loved it so much. All of us together, our hearts just burn for these themes where there's been a lot of well-intentioned people that has really poured water on the revival fires that exist in the hearts of people. And they almost feel like they're doing a great service to the body of Christ to keep expectations low. And so a big part of what we do is not to retaliate against people, certainly not to judge or to point fingers, but to just say, listen, let's go after the authentic. Let's just stay accountable. And let's just see what Jesus would do during our lifetime. Let's just see what it would be like to actually become a person possessed by God. And so this whole issue of you can't have false prophets unless there's real prophets. You can't have false signs unless there's real signs. That's a given. I think we've embraced that. And if you weren't here this morning, the message will be on the podcast. I think they get it on tomorrow or Tuesday. And I would definitely, definitely encourage you to hear. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture that is sent to me, probably Chris and a number of us, on somewhat of a regular basis. When anybody wants to refute that miracles happen today, generally this will be the passage they will kindly give to me. And it's Scripture, so I'm very happy because I love the Scriptures. I don't quite like how they're applying it, but we'll let them worry about that one. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's my conviction that we've not understood this verse well. He's talking to two different groups of people. He's talking about, number one, those who don't do the will of God, and number two, those who do the will of God but have no relationship. Okay, look at it again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. All right, stop for a moment. What did Jesus reveal in 3.5 years of ministry? What did he reveal as the will of the Father? Day in and day out was healing, deliverance, ministering the word of the Lord. There was the prophetic decree. There was all of that supernatural invasion to heal broken people. Would you agree with me on that? Without question, that is revealed from beginning to end as the will of God. as the work of God. So when Jesus stands here, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because there's a whole bunch who call me Lord that don't do what I tell them to do. What did I tell them to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Are you with me? And then he goes to the second group and he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons and done many wonders in your name? What is he doing there? He's identifying the fact that there are people who are involved in the miracle work, but they have no relationship. Depart from me, I never knew you. Now, I would never want to imply that if you're not healing the sick, that you don't go to heaven. I'm not trying to imply that. I'm just saying Jesus gives a command of what we're supposed to do in life and in ministry. And just calling him Lord doesn't make him Lord. He is Lord when I do what he says to do, even if I stink at what he said to do. You know, even if I, you know, go swinging at the demon and he doesn't leave, at least I chased him, you know. The whole point is we don't adjust the commission to what we feel we do well. We adjust our learning curve, our approach, our devotion to what he said to do, because he said these things are to be done. So in the first group, he says, not everyone who just says Lord doesn't mean that I'm their Lord. Yeah. They have to do what I said to do. And then he says, all right, but here's the second group. They're doing what I said to do, but I have to tell them, depart from me, because I never knew you. So here we come to the one thing that's more important than knowing God. There's one thing more important than knowing God. That's him knowing you. It brings us to one of the most profound examples, I believe, in the Bible is in John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And there is this incredible dialogue about the Father. The Father looks for worshipers. And then Jesus makes this statement, those who worship in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in spirit is a partnership with the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus. Worshiping in truth is nothing hidden. Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. We can know all about people. We can study a famous actor, athlete, philosopher, political leader, whatever. We can recite their birth date, their family names, or all this stuff. But if they've not let us into their life, we can't know them. Knowing a person requires their invitation and transparency. There has to be the openness and the honesty where we engage with a person, and then there's that exchange on a personal level. When God says, I never knew you, he knows the number of hairs on our head and has them numbered. He can list all the facts that would wear us out about our lives, because he knows everything about us. But it's the one thing that he will not do to come to know us. He will not invasively enter a person's life that is not invited, because it actually violates the very thing that relationship is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be an invitation followed by transparency. So worship then involves oftentimes music, involves many things. We just finished a series here of 4 weeks on the subject of worship. And worship is a huge part of our life. But there's an aspect of worship that sometimes isn't emphasized or talked about a lot. And that is that we come, everything exposed. Everything is open. I don't come with my agenda. See, if I come with my agenda, then I've got a secret place. But when I come to worship the one who is truly king and the one who is worthy of all my affection, all my devotion, then I come laying all agendas, dreams, visions, everything aside. I'm not there to engage with God so I can persuade him to fulfill my dreams. I am there as a transparent offering to give him honor. And in that relationship, something happens. He starts entering where I invite him. He starts engaging with me where I wanted engagement. He starts touching parts in my life that I didn't know I needed touched. He starts addressing things that I didn't know existed. But he did it not as this invasive, brutal, taskmaster, but he comes as a father who sees the beginning from the end. And he comes where there has been invitation. This passage, Lord, I like reading the hard verses in the Bible. I love the hard stuff that Jesus said. I need them. I don't like having just a steady diet of promises. And I feel like I'm the promise king around here. I record them. They're coming out my ears. I've got them for five lifetimes. I've got enough promises to keep God busy for five lifetimes. I love the promises of the Lord, and I don't ever want to downplay that rich part of my life. But I need the hard sayings. I need to hear Jesus say, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, without me trying to imagine how it could work. I just need to hear him say it. That's all I need. I don't need to understand it. I just need it to penetrate. I just need it to pierce me. I need the words of Jesus to cut me deep. And I sit there. I've been going through Matthew and Mark this last few days, and just read these things that Jesus says and just invite them just to go deeper still. I'm not asking for understanding. I'm asking for transformation. I don't need to be able to recite them. I'm not looking to teach anyone. I'm looking to be changed. I'm looking to be impacted by the word of the Lord. I'm looking to be known. I'm looking to be known. So I read these sometimes pretty gnarly things that Jesus says to people. And I read it like it's aimed at me. Because I want to make sure that any part of me that needs to hear that gets whacked off. I want to make sure that any attitude in my heart, anything, I don't read it as a condemned one. I'm not talking about something apart from grace. I'm talking about in the mercy of God, he comes to know me. He comes to know me. Yes, I believe in ministry. I believe in the miracles. I believe in the harvest of souls, all the things that we're here to do. But all of that is held in tension. It's in the context. Jesus said it in John 6. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him. He's not talking about a mental agreement. He's not talking about just some gift of faith. He's actually talking about a relational connection between the heart of God and the heart of man. He's talking about this seamless connection between those two realities. Because in that reality, in that connection, there is life. And in that connection, I am known. I am known. I've been encouraged year after year after year by you guys, because I see people who day after day live with risk and pursue problems, look for problems to serve and to pray for. I love hearing the stories. I get so encouraged by by the miracle. I mean, I love when they happen in church, believe me. I'm glad when we get together, things happen. But I'm especially thrilled when I hear it happening at your job or school, neighborhood, the mall. And it's just become a lifestyle. A story I don't tell much anymore, but I remember years ago, we've been here 20 years this next January. And in the first, after about 2 years, I started traveling again. I quit traveling I was traveling some in Weaverville, and I quit traveling just to stay here because it's important. And when I started traveling again, I started traveling sharing testimonies, just what we had seen God do. And it became an important part of going somewhere. As I could always tell where they were, you know, in their walk with the Lord, and if they really needed it, I'd just drop a big bomb of a testimony, you know, and just kind of shock everyone into, you're kidding, God still does that. And I loved it so much. I loved just going and sharing the stories of what Jesus was doing. Sometimes it would shock people into faith. Sometimes it would just shock them out of unbelief. I figured if I could just get them out of the hole, we could, you know, give them a ladder to climb later. You know, honestly, my goal wasn't always to get people into faith. It was just to get them out of a partnership with a lying spirit. If I could just break that partnership, then we can work on the rest. But I always loved the fact that I could go and tell stories. And I remember for a while we had a number of things happening down at the mall. And I don't tell these stories anymore because, let me just leave that. We sometimes create a name for ourselves in certain locations, and so we're trying to dial that down. So, I mean, we've had the mute speak. We've had people no ability to talk healed at the mall, and we've had some extraordinary things. Gunshot wounds, bullet wounds in the hip, crippled, get up and walk, completely healed. We've had extraordinary stuff happen at the mall. So we'd have people visit Reading, and they'd say, hey, I want to go on your mall outreach. And the first time they asked me that, I thought, mall outreach? I said, what do you mean mall outreach? We don't have a mall outreach. I was serious. I wasn't playing dumb. I was trying to think, where did they think we had a mall outreach? We don't have a mall outreach. I said, we don't have a mall outreach. They go, yeah, those stories you tell us of people getting healed at the mall. I went, oh, yeah, we don't have a mall outreach. We just have people who shop. And it was such a refreshing connection to make that, you know, it's, you know, when the Bible says to go into all the world, some people actually translate as you go. In other words, you're going to be going because of what your responsibilities in life. They're going to take you all over the place. As you go, do this stuff. As you go, look for people that are hurting. As you go, look for people to give to preach to share the gospel with, to believe for the impossible. As you go, you're going to be going your whole life, so just go and take the stuff with you, you know. And I've been so encouraged through the years by that just increasing and increasing. But, you know, I've been feeling in recent weeks a need for another outpouring, something more, not because what he's given us hasn't worked. I'm so thankful and so grateful. I do fairly well in my life with just plodding. You know, I'm a good plodder, just one foot in front of the other and just keep on going. And I'm fairly stubborn, so I don't, you know, I'm not easily distracted once I've locked into something. It's pretty much a done deal. It can be a fault at times, but shut up, Chris. Every strength has a weak side. Peter was bold, but he had his foot in his mouth frequently. And honestly, every strength has a weak point. That's why we have each other. But I do have a grace to lock into the will of God and just not be deterred. And that's that really is a testimony of my life for many, many, many years. But the problem with that can be that I'm satisfied with just plodding one day at a time. And I just want you to know, I'm not satisfied. I'm happy. I'm thankful. But I am so hungry for more. I'm so hungry for more. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. It's probably important before we pray about this that I've just shared, I should probably tie the knot on a couple thoughts. The first would be, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven. I don't throw that out as a threatening thing, as intimidating or shame. I just throw it out as an invitation to live in the will of God. And the will of God is for people to get healed, delivered, saved, set free. If you can imagine what Jesus went through, he went through all of that, not so that we could meet in church every week, but so that a revolution would start on the planet where people would be set free, people would be redeemed, people would be changed. And he paid a price for that. And that price that he paid, the suffering that he endured, was so that something could happen throughout the entire earth where people met this Father, what he was like. And so this is a twofold invitation tonight. The first is an invitation to do the will of God. To be those who say, Lord, Lord, because we're doing what he said to do. We're doing what he said to do. I prophesy. I've had an issue with my feet, and I've been prophesying to my feet. Feet, you bring good news. You are beautiful. You are blessed of the Lord. You bring good news. This is what you do. So I've been prophesying the blessing of the Lord over my feet. I want everybody in this room to be on board saying, yes, I am all about the will of God. I am about the will of God. I may not always do it well. We're all just kind of learning, you know. And that's kind of the misery loves company thing, you know. At least we get to try this thing together. But, you know, we just had a great testimony. One of our own team members that was supposed to have surgery this last week, open him up to give him a colonoscopy, a bag. They started exploring, and there was no more cancer left. They didn't have to do it. One of our own team. So that's an in-house victory. That's an in-house victory. So we're just thankful for that. It's one of our own team members, and so we're so thrilled with that. But how many of you? I'm not sure how to do this. How many of you would just say, "I'm on board"? The will of God, doing the will of God is everything to me. Just put your hands up. Just say this with me, Lord, Lord, I am about your will. I am committed to your purposes. I am here to reveal your heart. I am here to be used by you. To reveal who the Father is. So I say yes and amen. My life is filled with the will of God. Amen. Now the second part. Second part, I hardly ever do altar calls, so it's always awkward for me. So instead of doing an altar call, I'm bringing the altar to all of you. And I'm basically saying you don't have an option. If you showed up tonight, this is God's will for your life. So this is where it works. If you don't know the Lord, I just wouldn't dare leaving here without getting right with God. And we'll give you a chance for that. But here's the second part of that Lord, Lord passage. Did that make sense to you? The two sections where Jesus is talking to two groups, those who don't do it, and then those who do it, but they're doing the form, they're involved in the ministry, but there's no openness. Just do this with me. God, I open everything to you. I hide nothing from you. From my successes to my failures, to the secret ambitions, the secret thoughts, I lay everything before you. Because more than anything, I want to be known by you. I want you to know me. I want you to engage with me. I want you to discover me. And I want you to enjoy me. Now, Lord, we just welcome you even now to come in power. Be poured out upon us, Holy Spirit. Be poured out upon us, Holy Spirit. Lord, increase, increase this wonderful outpouring. Increase. Increase. Increase this. Increase this, Lord. Increase this, Lord. Increase. The anointing breaks the yoke. The presence of the Spirit of God just cleans, purges, purifies, empowers. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. If God is touching you powerfully right now, just stay right where you are. I don't want you praying for anyone. But if you can see the Lord is really touching somebody next to you, just put a hand on their shoulder and just pray, Lord, give them more. Let this be their day. 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 Release the more. Release the more. Release the more. Release the more, Lord God. Increase, increase, increase. Increase this, Lord God. God is touching some people very, very deeply. Very deeply. Lord, we just say increase. Go deeper still. Paul said, above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works within you. It's his deep reach within us that makes nothing impossible to us. So we just say, Lord, go even deeper still. Deeper still. We give you everything, everything. We lay everything on the line. I will give you
praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of. Sing it again. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Now we just pray, Lord, double it. Just double. Double this touch. Double this anointing. Double the spirit of breakthrough upon people. Double this baptism of fire that some are experiencing. Increase this, Lord God. Let there not be one person untouched by this outpouring, this presence of God invading this place. We just say, Lord, go deeper. Go deeper still. Go deeper still. Go deeper still. There's more. There's more. There's more. Some weep, some laugh, some are completely still and silent. It does not matter. Just make sure you respond to Him. Some kneel, some get on their face, some stand. Just give Him the offering. Give Him yourself as an offering. I don't know that everyone needs to do this, but some just need to come to the front and just literally just lay on your face before the Lord or in the aisle. To some, I can just see there's this wooing, there's this pulling. You need to put into an action this that God is doing. You need to just put it into an action. We just say, go deeper still, Lord. Go deeper still. Go deeper still, Lord God. Even through the TV, God, let there be a mighty outpouring in people's homes, in churches, in small groups. You can get on the stage too if you need to. If we run out of room, I just want to see people get before the Lord here. Just express in some way physically. Sometimes I just have to express my hunger in a physical way with raised hands or on my knees or on my face. I got to do something with this body that just present it before Him as an offering. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord God. We exalt your name, Lord. We exalt your name. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. Exalt your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Feel free to even partner with somebody who you're standing close to. Just that agreement in prayer sometimes is a key to breakthrough. The Lord said two or three of you would agree touching anything on earth, it would be done for you. Sometimes just standing with another person, just saying, God, we hold nothing back. We hold nothing back. We give ourselves to you completely, Lord God. We ask you for a fresh and mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. A mighty, mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Go deep in us, Lord God. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my Just respond to him. He's not only come to know us, but he's come to be known by us. Just respond to him. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We stand here guilt-free because the Lamb of God took away all sin. All sin. All sin. Yeah, just keep responding to him. If there's anyone here that does not know the Lord, but you want to have a personal relationship with God, be forgiven of sin, literally be adopted into his family, then I want you to wave a hand at me and I'm going to have somebody pray with you. Just wave your hand at me. Okay, right over here. I need somebody to get right over here. Yeah, go back, go over there. Thank you. Anybody else, wave your hand at me because I want to make sure that everybody has personal relationship with Jesus. You've been born again. Yeah. Now just put a hand on somebody next to you and just pray, Lord, just increase the touch in their life. Just pray very specifically. Increase the touch in their life. Increase. Increase this, Lord. Increase. We say more, we say more, we say more. Increase this, God. Wonderful, Lord Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful God. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Remo banda biata vocoma sister jaborete. In an arreto to and a day. Wow. Wonderful, Lord Jesus. You know, earlier tonight, Ben mentioned that in Nuremberg, Germany, there was going to be this commissioning. And I tell you what, my heart just leapt at that one. To be at the very place where a generation was commissioned for evil, to go back and to see a commissioning to a generation. You know, the commission is not just, it's not an empty commission. It's a commission that carries authority. It's a commission that sets people up for power. And if you're able to stand, I realize some of you, that might be a challenge, and that's totally fine. You own that real estate for as long as you need it. But for those of you that can stand, I just feel like tonight we're supposed to do a commissioning. That we can say, Lord, Lord, because we've said yes to the commission. We've said yes to the commission. You can be commissioned laying down too, so it's okay. It's those of you that are struggling. But we just say, Lord, Lord, we say yes to the commission. We say yes to the assignment. We say yes. And I pray, Lord, now for a fresh baptism of fire, a baptism of power, and in the mighty name of Jesus, a fresh and mighty outpouring, a baptism of power in Jesus' name, for miracles, for signs, for wonders, that there would be a courage, a fresh anointing for courage released over the people of God tonight, a fresh anointing for courage, that there would not be cowardly responses, but instead there would be courage and boldness, courage to say yes to opportunities, courage to say yes to assignments, to privileges. We say yes, Lord. We say yes. We say yes to the assignment of the Lord. We say yes to the Great Commission. We say yes to the will of God. We say yes to the purposes of God. We say yes to the works of God being done in us and through us. We say yes to the works of God being done in us and through us. Yes. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes. 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 I want you to repeat this after me. How beautiful, are the feet of those who bring good news. I bring good news. I bring good news. My feet are beautiful. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Wow. Wow. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The harvest is waiting for harvesters. The harvest is waiting for harvesters. I know you've already prayed for each other 100 times tonight, but put your hand on somebody's shoulder again and pray. God, make them a harvester, an international harvester, a harvester, a harvester, a harvester, a harvester. A harvester.
I thank you, Lord, that Bill has viewed the past
a harvester. Harvester. Harvesters. Harvesters. All right. All right, give me your attention for a moment here. We're going to take, I think, one more prayer direction, and then we'll do a fire tunnel or something. But just hold your place just for a moment. A very interesting phenomenon has been happening in the world of missions the last 10 to maybe 20 years. There was missions experts decades ago started calling the church to pray for what they called the 1040 window. It's that segment of the globe where Islam is predominant. And people would target that area in prayer. And interesting things began to happen. People would have dreams, and Jesus would appear to them in the night. In fact, I know of people, they will go to various places where there's a lot of Muslims. They'll go to my mind went black, the mosque. And they will stand out front and they will just ask them, have you seen a man in white? And that's all they'll ask them. And if they said yes, they have them stand in this group. If they said no, they have them go in. Because they know that the Lord is revealing himself. And they don't know who it is, a man or white, a man or white. And they'll get a whole group, and then they'll share the gospel with them. The point is the target in prayer has literally released the angel of the Lord into these environments. Now, I was just in Amsterdam 2 weeks ago, and I told you a little bit about this last week. It was a gathering for missionaries and pastors from closed countries in the world, and people that wanted to go to these closed countries. You die or are in prison for the gospel in these places. And a lot of amazing things are happening. The Lord's opening doors all over the world. So it's, you know, there's no closed place, but you understand what I mean. And what happened is an individual came to me, and she said, we are Jews. We are from Israel. And Jesus came to both my husband and me in the night, came to us in the night, and told us he was the Messiah. And they were just kind of bewildered and puzzled. What do we do? And this happened to them some time ago. They've come to faith in the Lord. We heard a story this morning of a pretty major individual in Israel that the Lord appeared to him, or spoke to him audibly, I forget which now, and told him John 14:6. John 14:6. And so he called a friend and said, what does this mean? And the friend wouldn't answer, because knew if they didn't answer, then that person would go find out themselves. And so they went and got a New Testament and opened John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. What's happening? All I'm trying to do is say, all right, we've been targeting the 1040 window. Target your neighborhood. No, you didn't get it. Target neighbors specifically. Target why? Because wherever you target, he shows up. Wherever you target. It's not that he shows up so that we don't share the gospel. It just means he shows up and causes people to be alerted to what is real. Pray for your neighbors right now. Lift your voice. Pray for your neighbors. I mean around your house. You can pray for the people around you too, but pray around your house. Your neighborhood. Your neighborhood. start targeting our neighbors, our city. Visitations of God. Visitations of God. The angel of the Lord released into neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood. The people would be awakened to the gospel, awakened to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The only one who gives access to the Father. We pray for the spirit of revelation to rest upon our city, to rest upon our neighborhoods, to rest upon our businesses, to rest upon our schools, our government offices. The people would become unusually aware of God, unusually aware of God. Unusually aware of the Lord. Yes. Yes. Unusually aware of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're going to have a fire tunnel, but let me tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be a great commission tunnel. It's going to be a great commission tunnel. It is going to be a great commission tunnel. The Lord is releasing power and authority over people. There's still stuff going on here. Yeah, release. Release it here, Father. Release it here, Father. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes. Tell you what, the Lord is releasing something. Who? The Lord is This is going to be a wild summer. This is going to be a wild summer. You know, you take your vacation, do what you need to do, but there'll be no backing off in the summer. This is about to intensify. Mighty God. All right, here's what I'm going to ask. We still got a lot of ministry going on. I don't want that to stop, but I would like to get our ministry team up here. You guys know what to do. Those only on the ministry team, help us right now. Get up here, form two tunnels, one on each side of me. The rest of you, I just invite you to come through the tunnel. We will pray for you. It's going to be a great commission tunnel. It's going to be a great commission. Get my bag as well. My bag's done. Hmm? What?
Thank you for joining us. On our website, ibethel.org, we have our pastors' itineraries who may be visiting a place near you. Havilah Cunnington will be in the Bronx, New York, June 1st through the 2nd, and Danny Silk will be in Spokane Valley, Washington, on June 3rd. Now we want to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests, you can email them to pastor@bethel.tv. Our team would love to pray for you. And be sure to send us your testimonies as well. We've recently heard a testimony from a SOZO team in Switzerland. They were ministering to a missionary with bladder cancer. After the Sozo session, the missionary went back to his doctor and found out that he was completely healed of cancer. We pray that you would experience healing body, soul, and spirit, and that you would receive encounters with Jesus that leave you healed, saved, and delivered. Thank you for watching Bethel TV and joining us and our Bethel family around the world. We hope to see you again soon.